Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. For the record, it's 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. We are in the Belts Room of the Thomas Stewart Building. We do have a quorum to do business. Senator Gray Jackson, Vice Chair Senator Stevens, Senator Rivek, and myself, Senator Bishop. Senator Costello is away but watching online. I'd like to recognize our staff today, Kari Cooper-Reiter, Carson Walters, Mr. Grusendorf. Today on the agenda, we have confirmation hearings for seven individuals. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 182, age for nicotine, e-cigs, cigarettes, and SB 195, Board of Directors, Domestic Insurers. I'm looking out in the crowd. 68, SB 68, Dental Hygienist and Advanced Practitioner Permits, and we'll be taking public testimony. We're going to start with our confirmations for today. We will have seven appointees, and when called upon, would you please place your name and affiliation on the record? Give the committee a brief introduction of who you are, why you would like to serve, and the committee could have questions at the end after the confirmations are completed. We will move these confirmations along and to a joint session. Today's hearing is not a recommendation of a yes or a no vote for the joint session. First up will be Lena Lafferty, Board of Nursing appointee, Anchorage.
Good afternoon. Hello, everyone. My name is Lena Lafferty. I live here in Anchorage, Alaska. Governor Dunleavy has appointed me to the registered nurse position on the Alaska Board of Nursing. I was nominated last July to the board, and I have come to know the current members. In my opinion, this board has made great strides in streamlining nursing regulation while ensuring safe practice in Alaska. I am a licensed registered nurse currently employed with Providence, Alaska in Anchorage. I've been a registered nurse for 5 years. I have been an Alaskan resident since 2006. Before becoming registered nurse, I served in the United States Navy as a hospital corpsman, separated after 10 years to accompany my active duty Marine husband. I worked at the Providence Transitional Care until being selected this past October for an operating room fellowship with the main hospital here in Anchorage. I am very honored to be considered for this position, and upon confirmation by your committee, will advocate for the interest of the people of Alaska. I am fully committed to the Board of Nursing mission and will actively promote and protect the health of citizens of Alaska through the safe and effective practice of nursing as defined by law. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I look forward to answering any questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that overview, and thank you for putting your name forward, and we appreciate it. I see no questions from committee members, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, we're going to go to Amanda Pinwell, Board of Direct Entry Midwives.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to be here. My name is Amanda Pinwell, and I will be hopefully appointed to the Board of the Certified Direct Entry Midwives. I am a licensed direct entry midwife in Alaska, and I've been a midwife for 22 years, not all in Alaska. I've also worked overseas and been licensed in two other states. I currently work as a staff midwife at a busy Fairbanks birth center. That's where I live, in Fairbanks. I had my first baby at home in Fairbanks 15 years ago with an Alaska licensed direct entry midwife, and it was amazing. So I have the advantage of seeing midwifery through two lenses, as a consumer of midwifery and as a currently practicing midwife. I have a strong commitment to seeing our profession grow, and Alaskans have amazing access to direct entry midwives, and I want that to continue. And I want to help shape our laws so that we can practice solid midwifery and ensure public safety and satisfaction. And that's why I want to be on the board.
Very good. Thank you. Questions from committee members? Seeing none, have a great day, and thanks for calling in. Next, we're going to go to Fred Wallace, Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors in Healy. And Fred is a reappointment for everyone that hadn't caught that. Hello, Healy.
Can you hear me?
We can, Fred. The floor is yours.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself. My name is Fred Wallace, and I'm a graduate of the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I'm the Vice President of Engineering for Use Valley Coal Mine. I've worked throughout the North and obtained professional engineering status in Canada and Alaska. I've been employed by Use Valley Coal Mine for the last 23 years. I look forward to again serving on the State Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. As the construction and development industries in Alaska continue to grow, so will the need for professional architects, engineers, and land surveyors, which is why this board is so important. The most important issue facing this board is ensuring public safety. Thank you for your consideration.
All right, thank you. And you, we did put on the record that you were a reappoint there, Mr. Wallace. Thank you. Any questions from committee members? I don't see any. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Brief at ease. Back on the record, Bradley McConnell. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, sir.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is Brad McConnell, and I'm delighted to be speaking with you today regarding the confirmation hearing for appointment to the Alaska Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. I appreciate the opportunity to share with the committee my reasons for serving on the board, as well as the impact that I hope will be made over the course of serving Alaskans over the next few years. I was raised in a rural area of California whose population is approximately the same size as the entire population of Alaska, with a similar amount of mental health professionals serving that population. I believe that serving those unique needs of that population translates well to serving Alaskans because I was able to directly see and understand the various difficulties residents face when trying to access mental health care. The provision of mental health services, both in quality and number, is needed in Alaska, and this is something that will only be increasing through the years. The profession of psychology is integral to who I am as an individual. I have served in a variety of mental health settings since completing my training as a psychologist approximately 7 years ago, from university counseling centers to federally qualified health centers to correctional health care and inpatient hospitals. I currently serve as the Director of Psychological Services at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, and I'm a board-certified psychologist through the American Board of Professional Psychology. The biggest hurdle I see is ensuring that Alaskans have the resources to access mental health care in a timely and routine manner. While I don't have an exact answer right now on how to help, I believe I'm equipped to help shed some light on some exciting avenues in what is being accomplished through interstate compacts on providing psychological services, as well as what can be accomplished through telehealth. I'm humbled by being offered the opportunity to serve on the Alaskan Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, and I'm more than pleased to answer any questions that the committee may have for me. Thank you again.
Questions from committee members? All right, I don't see any. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Fairbanks, I believe. And, yep, we're going to go to Fairbanks and Bernard Gatewood.
Thank you, Senator Bishop, and all the members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to present with you. My name is Bernard Gatewood. I've lived in Alaska for about 35 years total, the past 20 in Fairbanks. I'd like to say that I'm married to a beautiful young lady, Tracy Gatewood. She's a small business owner here in Fairbanks, and it will be 14 years tomorrow that we've been married. I hold a Master of Science degree in counseling and a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology. I have over 30 years of public service with experience primarily in juvenile corrections, and also in the mental health arena, nonprofit oversight, and local politics. I spent almost 16 years as the superintendent of the Fairbanks Youth Facility. In this capacity, I also had oversight responsibilities for the Nome and the Bethel Youth Facilities. I managed a budget of over $12 million. I worked in the mental health arena in both Alaska and Alabama. I've served on numerous nonprofit boards and commissions, and I served on the Fairbanks City Council for 8 years. I retired from state service in November of 2015 and have spent the past 4 years serving my community in various ways. A trustee with the Foundation Health Partners, on the Good Sense Board for a GVEA, or the electric company, and I also do public address announcing for Lathrop High School football, Lathrop High School basketball, and Monroe Catholic football. I think the behavioral health issue in this state has compelled me to try and do more, and I see the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associates as a key piece in the mental health continuum of providers necessary to address some of those behavioral health issues. I think this board plays a role in licensure and getting these professionals to work as quickly as possible after proper vetting. Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to present to you, and I hope that you confirm me and give me a chance to work on this board and help address the mental health issue in this state. Thank you, sir.
All right. Any questions from committee members? Mr. Gatewood, I just want to thank you for all your service to the youth in this state, and I hope to see you Friday night, maybe in the gym at the regionals. So if I can get out of here, so take care, and we'll see you later.
Well, thank you, sir. I'll definitely be there. I'll probably be announcing some of those games.
All right, thank you. All right, next we're going to go to let's see here, Christina Durham, Board of Psychologists and Psychological Examiners in Anchorage.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. As you said, my name is Christina Durham, and I, along with everyone else, appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about a pending appointment to the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. I am licensed as a psychologist in the state of Alaska and have been so since 2009. I first earned an associate degree from UAA and then relocated to the lower 48 to complete my education, as at the time, UAA did not have the degrees that I was seeking. I obtained a PhD from Brigham Young University in clinical psychology and then later a postdoctoral master's in clinical psychopharmacology from Alliant University. I've been licensed in Alaska since 2009 and in Utah since 1999. I was one of those non-traditional students starting my education when my youngest child started in school. And with four children and a husband on a slope schedule, it took nearly 10 years to go from no degree to completing my PhD. I've always thought, fortunately, persistence has been a lifelong trait, and that certainly aided in that pursuit. I have always had a desire to give back, to serve, and after completing my degree, have attempted to do that wherever I could and with the training that I've received. Presently, I am primarily retired, and I see that as a great boon to being able to increase the amount of service that I give back to the community now that I'm full-time back in Alaska, and certainly see a strong need to improve and further the practice of psychology and appreciate the opportunity to do so on the psychology board. I believe my interest and the perspective I have from mainly being a forensic practitioner adds a different perspective and maybe some breadth to the board's work, and I look forward to serving if confirmed. I appreciate your time and consideration. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right. Thank you for the introduction, and I'm not seeing any questions, and thanks for putting yourself forward and wanting to continue to serve. The state of Alaska appreciates it.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, I don't see, is a Wendy Lawrence in the room? And I don't see a Wendy Lawrence online, so we will have to reschedule that for for the next committee meeting. Cody's already got that in the queue. So let me go follow the script. In accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Board of Nursing, Lena Lafferty. Board of Direct Entry Midwives, Amanda Pinwell. Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Fred Wallace. Board of Psychologists and Psychological Examiners, Bradley McConnell, Bernard Gatewood, Christina Durham. This does not reflect an intent by any member to vote for or against the confirmation of these said individuals during any further sessions. And we'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Stevens, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute 31LS1478-S before the committee as a working document.
And I'll object for the explanation of changes. And Mr. Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens, will explain the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens and the Senate Education Committee. Before you is Senate Bill 182, version S. I want to make clear to the committee before we go further, to summarize that this bill as a whole is conforming language with federal law. Last December, Congress passed and the President signed that the nationwide law of the land will be that folks that are, in order to buy, sell, possess tobacco products, must be at least age 21. So this bill primarily would establish that consistency in state law so that all of the statutes that currently exist for buy, sell, possess for tobacco products, electronic cigarette products, and so forth, that the persons have to be age 21. Before I begin, I'm going to be using an acronym. When it comes to these products, it includes cigarettes, other tobacco products, which means chew, pipe tobacco, cigars, and so forth, products containing nicotine, and electronic smoking products, the acronym there being CONE, cigarettes, other tobacco products, products containing nicotine, and electronic smoking products. Although Alaska's got many, and many states have quite a robust system to monitor and enforce compliance with our standard brick-and-mortar type storefronts, there's no equally robust system that exists for internet-based vendors selling these CONE products, and so the CS before you is going to reflect some restrictions on those online sales. Unfortunately, and as is intuitive with the modern age of technology, there's substantial evidence out there, Mr. Chairman, that's shown that minors can and do acquire these products from internet vendors. These vendors can skirt our existing laws currently designed and focused on our storefront retailers selling to youth. So federally, under the Control Act, the Federal Tobacco Control Act, the FDA has authority to make these changes, to take these actions, but no such online sales or actions against online sales have taken place. And so in that absence, states like ours are beginning to change their laws accordingly. With that, then, the latest CS before you is a general reflection of what several other states are currently doing that they have enacted or at least presently have proposed addressing online sales, summarized as, first of all, it repeals existing exemptions for those folks that might be in jail. As regards restricting online sales for all these CONE products, that online CONE vendors must be licensed with the state, that age verification must be made at the point of purchase, that packages as being sent are clearly labeled as a CONE product, and then finally, that there be some an age verification at the point of delivery. And this CS, or my understanding, that your pleasure, Mr. Chairman, that we're currently going to remain silent on the tax and save the mechanics and the level of the taxation of these products for Senate Finance at a later committee. So with that, I'll go through the formal changes of the bill. Firstly, in the title, we're adding relating to transportation of tobacco products containing nicotine and electronic smoking products. And for your information, currently there's online restrictions for cigarettes, but none of the other products. So this would complete the O-N-E of the cone. On Section 3, page 2, lines 26 and 27, relates to minor possession of tobacco or cone products, repeals the exemption for those folks that are in jail. So they, if you're in jail, you cannot legally give, sell, buy, possess these cone products if you're incarcerated, unless you're 21. Section 9 relates to transporting cigarettes into the state, that they must be an age verification service to confirm the age of someone online purchasing those products. Section 10 relates to common carriers. So when someone is making a purchase online and there's a common carrier involved, the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, and so forth, that shipping cigarettes into the state requires that that carrier verify the age of the recipient before completing delivery. Section 15, lines 14 to 31, continuing from page 7, 8, and 9, is a new section essentially relating to the transportation of tobacco products, product containing nicotine, and e-cigarettes. Duplicates all of the statutes that currently exist for cigarettes into a new section of applying to all those other products regarding shipping restrictions, age verification, labeling, and so forth. It also is very important to point out that it would require licensing of these vendors. If not just cigarettes, but any other online vendor of these other products would need to be licensed with the state in order to do business here and transport those products, cause them to be shipped to someone in our state. And then finally, on Section 27 relates to, again, those that are incarcerated. Just for clarification, that Section 3 applies to minors' possession. Section 27 relates to the selling or gifting of those products to people in jail, just to kind of cover both bases there. That concludes, Mr. Chairman, the summary of the changes in the bill. We can go through the bill itself if you wish, but otherwise I'd be available for questions.
Does committee members have questions with the sectional changes that was just described? I did ask the bill sponsor to go around and talk to individual members prior to this meeting, and if any more questions have generated, please ask them now. All right. Seeing none, and like you said, we will take up the fiscal note and financial aspects in the Finance Committee. Thank you. Senator Stevens, comments?
No, I appreciate your hearing the bill, and I do appreciate the comments on the taxation. You know, we've had several questions along the way, and we want to make sure that it's fair to our shops here in Alaska, and that we find a way to restrict sales online as well. So I think that's those will be solved at the next level.
Right, and I think it's prudent to handle that at the Finance Committee.
Absolutely.
I'm going to remove my objection. And Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute 31LS1478/S from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no objections, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill. Okay, we're back on the record. Next is, well, let me see. All right, Senate Bill 195, Board of Directors of Electric Insurers. This is the second hearing. We'll take public testimony. And we're going to open public testimony. We're going to close public testimony. And are there any questions of the department before we move the bill? It was pretty doggone simple. Seeing none, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 195, version 31LS1533/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
All right, seeing no objection, 195 moves from committee. SB 195 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill. All right, good afternoon. We're back on the record. Next up is Senate Bill 68. This will be the first hearing of the bill. The companion version of this bill has made significant progress in the other body, and the committee does have a CS for consideration after the Senate President gives opening comments, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for hearing the bill. For the record, I'm Kathy Giesel, Senator for Senate District N, and as in November. So Senate Bill 68 would create a dental hygienist advanced practice permit. So, Mr. Chairman, I believe you and members of the committee understand how critical dental care is to our overall health. In fact, some dental conditions can actually predispose someone to heart disease and other issues. Certainly, if a person is missing their teeth, their nutritional status falls significantly, and that affects their health. So, in our state, the most vulnerable populations are children, seniors, and those with disabilities. We have an enormous unmet need for dental care in Alaska, and our dental costs are high, just like all of our medical costs. Many states are now allowing dental hygienists the ability to have advanced practice type permits, and that gives them the ability to provide dental services to underserved populations who are at risk. So these are folks that may not have access to a dental office, perhaps there isn't one in the community where they live, or there's transportation issues even if there is a dentist in the community. So Senate Bill 68 would allow an advanced practice permit for Alaska licensed hygienists. As of 2019, just for data point, there are 703 Alaska-licensed dental hygienists. So these folks are skilled oral health professionals. I'm betting every one of you and everyone in the room has encountered and appreciated the work of dental hygienists. They are focused on preventing and treating oral diseases. They graduate from nationally accredited dental hygiene education programs in colleges and universities. They successfully take a national written exam and a state clinical examination. They have comprehensive education and clinical preparation and are focused on serving the public with safe dental care. The identified underserved areas in Alaska, particularly the ones that we want to focus on, are nursing homes, K-12 schools, senior centers, residential treatment centers, assisted living centers, nursery schools, and even daycare centers. A dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit would be able to provide early preventative care, thus reducing the number of acute care visits that the person might have for dental issues, and those, of course, can be very expensive. They could identify serious dental problems and then make the appropriate referral to dentists to handle the more complicated issues. 62% of Alaska's children have higher than normal tooth decay rate. So having access to a dental hygienist early in a daycare center or nursery school or K-12 school could go a long way toward treating those things. So this would provide new consumer choices for preventative oral health, helping to educate patients and families in dental hygiene and good overall health. This bill is supported by the Alaska Board of Dentistry, the Alaska Dental Hygienists Association, the American Dental Hygienists Association, the Alaska Dental Society, and dental hygienists who see firsthand the unmet need that are prevalent in Alaska. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I conclude my opening remarks.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Senator Stevens.
I wonder if you could give us an idea, Madam President, about the expensiveness, the cost. I mean, I do know that Alaska is the highest in the U.S. and Kodiak is the highest in Alaska when it comes to a dentist. So what could we expect to happen if we're more folks that can't afford it, underserved, are actually seeing a hygienist? What are they looking at in the difference in cost? Any idea?
I don't think we can quantify specifically the savings. That's one of the hard things about preventative health care. It's impossible to quantify what we saved by preventing something. But certainly we know children have a lot of dental caries, tooth decay. We now have dental health aides in rural Alaska, and we have seen a significant positive impact from those dental health aides. So they are out there right now doing much of what this bill would allow other dental hygienists around the state to do. We know that they've made a big impact, particularly in child's health care. We also are concerned about seniors. Let's talk about seniors at the Alaska Pioneer Home. Transportation to get to a dentist is very difficult for them. If they are suffering from dementia, going to a dentist's office can be very disruptive, disorienting for a person with dementia. But a dental hygienist coming into the Pioneer Home could actually meet those needs in a familiar atmosphere and cause a lot less discord for that senior citizen.
Sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Senator President and I heard some overview, if you will, a few weeks ago on some costs of our Medicaid program for dental, and I think this could go a long way to maybe help and drive down some of that cost, too. So I don't know. I've been told that my wife tells me every day, if you keep flossing your teeth, you're going to live 8 years longer. All right. Seeing no further questions for the Senate President, Senator Stevens, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee Substitute 31LS0224/R before the committee as a working document.
All right. Seeing no objections, work draft R is before the committee. And Ms. Conway, if you'd walk us through the sectional version R.
Good afternoon. My name's Jane Conway. Staff to Senator Giesel, I have a sectional analysis of Senate Bill 68 to go through with you. I think you have that in your packets. Section 1 has to do with the scope of practice for dental hygienists, and it amends that section to allow a licensed dental hygienist who holds an advanced practice permit to perform the duties that are allowed by the permit that are set out in this bill. Section 2 is a new section about advanced practice permits. It outlines the advanced practice permit regulations and privileges. The Board of Dental Examiners may issue an advanced practice permit to a licensed dental hygienist who has a minimum of 4,000 documented hours of clinical experience. They could perform certain specific services listed in this section, and you'll see 13 items listed on pages 2 and 3 of the services that they may provide. It also describes patients, a licensed dental hygienist who holds an advanced practice permit may provide services to, and they are including a patient not able to receive dental treatment due to age, infirmity, or disability, children, seniors, or disabled, and they are a resident of what Senator Giesel had described, various situations like a senior center, a hospital, long-term care, residential care facility, adult foster home. The list goes on, vocational training program, private school, secondary school, charter school, and so on. A patient receiving benefits under the WIC program or a resident where there's a shortage of dental health populations is also the areas of which these advanced practice dental hygienists can serve. And then it goes on to a licensed dental hygienist holding a advanced practice permit can provide services without the presence, authorization, or supervision of a licensed dentist and without an examination from a licensed dentist because they've met the criteria written out in the regulations by the board and the 4,000 hours of clinical experience. They are also required to do the following: to maintain professional liability insurance, to give the patient, parent, or legal guardian written notice that the treatment provided will be limited to the services listed under this Section A. They must provide a written recommendation that the patient be examined by a licensed dentist for comprehensive oral care. So that means that if anything is beyond their scope of practice, they would refer them on to a regular dentist. And they would also have to provide assistance for a referral to a licensed dentist for further treatment if that patient needs help finding an appropriate dentist that they can get to. Also, the dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit may practice as an independent contractor, as long as they are practicing independently in that shortage, one of those areas that is listed as a dental shortage area. The advanced practice permit is valid until the license of the dental hygienist expires, and they can renew their advanced practice permit at the same time they renew their license.
Ms. Conway, I have a question, just for clarification in my head. So I highlighted maintain professional liability insurance, and I kind of got my answer down here in E. So this individual that meets these qualifications, they could be working in a practice, and or they could set up their own shop. Is that correct,
Senator Bishop? That is true. They it's predicted that they most of these dental hygienists will probably still work for a dentist and also go out to these underserved areas and provide services at the same time.
So just for a clarification for me, so if they're working in a practice and then they're going to go out to an underserved area, I guess it would be up to the individual, but they could still maintain their employment with their primary employer, and they would carry the professional liability insurance form. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Chairman, I will answer from the perspective of an advanced practice nurse. That's sometimes the scenario that an employer who is employing an advanced practice nurse will offer as a benefit to their employment coverage for their liability insurance. Typically, however, it is up to the clinician themselves to maintain that liability insurance and pay the premiums.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Please continue.
All right, now we are on Section 3, which is on page 4. This is a section that covers grounds for discipline and suspension or revocation of a license. It outlines 7 items of which could be grounds for discipline. It allows the Board of Dental Examiners to discipline, suspend, or revoke a license of an advanced practice permit holder. If there's any questions, there are 7 items there of things that should not be done by a dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit. Towards the bottom, it also says that You could have discipline for performing procedures outside your scope of practice, except as permitted by an advanced practice permit, and allowing a dental assistant to perform duties outside their scope. So if a dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit is supervising a dental assistant, they are it's mandatory that they make sure the dental assistant only operates within their scope of practice. They may not falsify or destroy a patient or facility record, or fails to maintain a patient or facility record for at least 7 years after the date the record was created. That is the same requirement that is for dentistry as well. Section 4 on page 5.
Stevens, he has a question.
Thank you. Just if you clarify the duties outside the scope of their job description, what would that be? Like, what are we talking about? Like maybe the pulling of teeth or something like that? Would that be?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, yes, a dental hygienist would not be doing those kind of invasive procedures like pulling a tooth or, correct, that would have to be done by a dentist, and so the dental hygienist would refer that patient on to a dentist.
Thank you.
Section 4, page 5, adds a new subsection under delegation to dental assistants. It allows delegation of the following tasks to a dental assistant: taking and developing x-rays, radiographs, application of topical preventative agents, and other tasks specified by the board by regulation. And the dental assistant must be supervised at a level specified by the Board of Dental Examiners in regulation as well. Section 5, unfair discrimination, having to do with employer insurance, a dental hygienist holding an advanced practice permit, it adds them to the list of providers who may not be discriminated against in a insurance plan. Section 6 adds dental hygiene services to the list of services provided under the Medicaid statute. Section 7 allows DCCED, HESS, and the Board of Dental Examiners to adopt regulations necessary to implement the changes that are in this bill. Section 8 allows the regulation and rulemaking to take effect immediately. And Section 9, the effective date of this bill is July 1st, 2021.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? We do have the following people online for questions. Renee Gayhart, Director, Division of Health and Care Services, is in person. Hello, welcome. Melissa Hill, Administrative Manager for the Division of Healthcare Services, in person, welcome. Brenda Vincent, Medicaid Program Specialist, Division of Healthcare, she's online. We do have invited testimony today, and that is Katrina Virgin, President of the Alaska Dental Hygienist Association, and Dominique Winsel, and Ann Lynch, Director of Advocacy and Education for the American Dental and Hygienist Association, and last, our own Sarah Chambers, Director, Division of Corporate Business Professional Licensing. So, corporations, businesses, and professional licensing. All right. So, with that being said, does anybody have questions so far? We'll go to invited testimony. All right. With that, we're going to go to Katrina Virgin, President of the Dental Hygienist Association in Kodiak.
Hi, good afternoon. For the record, this is Katrina Virgin, President of the Alaska Dental Hygienist Association, calling from Kodiak, Alaska, in support of SB 68 to provide testimony and stay online to answer any questions as directed.
Senator Stevens, you have questions for a Kodiak person?
Well, I'm not sure that I do, but I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. All right. I don't see any questions. Next, we're going to go to Dominique Winsel. Dominique.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you. Through the chair, good afternoon, Senator DeGiesel and the rest of the committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Dominique Winsel. I am a member of the Alaska Board of Dentistry of Examiners. Thank you for allowing me to speak regarding SB 68. The Alaska Dental Board of Examiners supports the new version of SB 68 as written, and I can hopefully answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. I'm not seeing any questions, so thank you, sir.
I have a question.
Senator Rebeck now has a question.
Dr. Wenzel, this is Senator Rebeck. Are you still practicing, and if not, are you planning on practicing anytime soon?
Through the chair, hello, Senator Rebeck. I have just gotten a release by the orthopedic surgeon to try to do a half day a week. So, I think I'm good to go March 23rd.
Thank you.
At my old office.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for calling in. Next, we'll have, Ann Lynch from the American Dental Hygienist Association from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann Lynch. I am the Director of Advocacy and Education for the American Dental Hygienist Association. We are headquartered in Chicago, Illinois. By way of introduction, I have been with ADHA for nearly 8 years. By way of background, prior to joining ADHA, I had the pleasure and privilege to serve as a state senator in my home state of Minnesota. So it's really, it's a delight for me to spend a little bit of time with you this afternoon. I come to you on behalf of the largest national organization representing the professional interests of dental hygienists across this country to speak in support of SB 68. I thought it would be helpful to offer you some perspective with a national lens. In 1995, so go back in time, about 25 years ago, there were a handful, the number was five states that allowed dental hygienists to practice without the presence and authorization of a dentist. Fast forward now to 2020, and that number is 42. Today there are 42 states, including Alaska, that in at least one setting permit dental hygienists, have state laws that allow dental hygienists to work in communities to provide preventive oral health services without the presence or direct supervision of a dentist. So what you're seeking to do today is to further utilize that dental hygiene workforce that you have in the state of Alaska. You heard a little bit about the education and licensure requirements for dental hygienists. I can confirm for you that, in fact, there are national standards for dental hygiene education programs that are accredited all across this country, including in your state of Alaska. The advanced practice permit in Alaska will provide that opportunity to utilize your ready workforce with Alaska educated dental hygienists. And this will allow dental hygienists to meet people where they are in each of your districts and each of your communities. As a former lawmaker, I've sat in your shoes. And one of the, I think one of the things that's unique and somewhat special about this bill is that this is really presenting an opportunity to provide leadership and to support an initiative, to support a change that will truly make a difference in the lives of so many people all across the state of Alaska for years to come. I thank you very much for the service to the state of Alaska and for the work that you do and the leadership that you provide. Appreciate the opportunity to provide comment tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Don't go anywhere. I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. first off, do you know where Motley, Minnesota is?
Motley, Minnesota. Now that's a big metropolis.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I just wanted to, I'm checking your creds here. I'm verifying your Minnesota creds. Okay, so you passed that one. The second thing I just wanted to ask was, do you have any data, or is any how many hygienists do we know would then go on to become a dentist, or want to go to the next level? Does anybody have an idea? Do you have an idea?
I don't have a hard number at my fingertips for you, but I can tell you it is far more common for dental hygienists to seek the ability to be able to practice to the top of their scope of practice. And so when I talked about the fact that 25 years ago there were 5 states, and today there are those 42, that's really an indication of states, frankly, allowing this licensed professional to be able to change their laws so that that workforce is providing services to the top of their fullest extent of their education.
Thank you. And we do have, we got 2 more questions, but I'm going to go to Senator Rivac has a question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering about the scope of the practice you mentioned. What is the scope of the practice? I know it's preventative. Can they administer local anesthetics, things like that, in advanced practice hygienists, or could you help me better understand the scope?
Yes, and through the chair, in your bill, it's on page 2, beginning with line 7, the scope for the advanced practice permit is laid out there. To the question on local anesthesia, that is addressed. Looking here, looks like line 24 on page 2.
So line 21, it says perform neurosurgical periodontal therapy. Could you help me understand what that is, with or without administration of local anesthesia?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I should have disclosed that I am also, while I'm a politician, I am not a dental hygienist.
All right.
You're doing good there.
Yeah, great.
I might ask if I could email to the dental hygienist that's on the line.
We'll hold that question, go to the appropriate individual. So thank you. Senator Stevens does have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your service as a state senator. You mentioned there's one setting, I believe you said one setting here in Alaska where hygienists can do a job without a dentist being present. So that's our current state of affairs. What is that setting you're talking about?
If I could clarify, what I said, or at least what I meant to say, was that of the 42 states that we call it direct access, where in at least one setting in each of those states, that dental hygienists can provide those services to patients without the dentist being present or giving authorization. Most commonly, just to give you some sort of a sense, most commonly that's in schools. And certainly that is the case in the state of Alaska. But today, dental hygienists can provide services. You have something that's called, a collaborative practice agreement. I'm trying to look it up really quick. So you are in your state since 2008. So back in 2008, there, when I talked about some of those barriers being released, that first happened in your state in 2008 when you created the collaborative agreement. And the collaborative agreement, so what you're doing today with this bill is allowing the hygienist to work in more settings, okay, so increasing that access with the creation of the permit system by allowing that hygienist with those hours that staff indicated and education and license to be able to go out and meet people where they're at.
Thank you, Ann. I understand that.
Okay. All right. Ms. Lynch, thank you. I see no further questions. We're going to take just a brief at ease. On the record, Dr. Wenzel, are you still on the line?
Through the chair, yes.
Your patient has a question.
Hey, Dr. Wenzel, Senator Rivek, I was just curious about the scope of practice in the advanced practice permit. It looks like if certified by the board, they can administer local anesthesia. And I was curious what exactly is perform non-surgical periodontal therapy. Could you help me better understand some of the scope of practice?
Yes, through the chair. Senator Rivek, I think you're referring to line 22. Is that correct, page 2?
Yes.
Well, what happens is if a patient has probings deeper than 4 millimeters and fairly tenacious subgingival calculus, the hygienist is not able to scale and root plane without the patient being numb. Otherwise, it will be too uncomfortable for that patient. So as it is now, hygienists are allowed to administer local anesthetic in dental practices under the general supervision of a dentist. What the board is supporting is allowing the dental hygienist to go ahead and administer local anesthetic in these settings, such as a nursing home.
And thank you very much, Dr. Wenzel. I appreciate it.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you, Doctor. Seeing no further questions, we're going to open public. Oh, Sarah Chambers. Ms. Chambers, did you want it? Okay. All right, questions. We're going to open public testimony. Public testimony is open. And we're going to go to Fairbanks, Vivian Stiver.
Good afternoon, Chair Bishop and committee members. I'm testifying today in support of SB 68. I have worked with a senior population now for 9 years, and I've witnessed firsthand the problems associated with low-income seniors and getting dental care. It does several obstacles for our seniors. One is cost. Secondly is transportation. It is difficult to get there. So not only as Senator Giesel had said, not only does having bad teeth affects your heart, it does cause issues and other health issues. So I've seen seniors who are struggling with, you know, oral issues. Then it comes into the fact that they're having a hard time eating good foods because they can't chew, because they have pain. And so a lot of times there are other options for them to have their teeth worked on or fixed, but they opt for options of extraction because they can't afford other types of services. So if we can get dental hygienists who can come in and they can do, you know, the screening and they can do cleanings and they can help and encourage seniors with their teeth and spot problems quickly, I think it would add such a tremendous quality of life for seniors because they also will isolate if their teeth get so bad. They're not likely to come to potlucks to go out and be around people. So, you know, health care, dental care, all creates impacts on our seniors. And so I think this bill is very important for that. And also, it's also nice to see that we have the advanced practitioner and giving opportunity to other Alaskans to move into these areas where they are underserved. And that concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Stiver. Any questions? Don't see any. Thanks for calling in today. And it appears it appears that that's it for public testimony. It's closed. Okay. Senator Giesel, do you have any wrap-up comments? Okay. All right. Thank you. No wrap-up comments. We're going to set Senate Bill 68 aside. It'll be coming up in our next meeting. And this concludes today's meeting. Thursday, there will be confirmation hearings. Senate Bill 68 will be back up. And 173, Senate Bill 173, License Intensive Care Paramedics by our own Senator Rivak. Thank you. And participants today, we are adjourned at 2:38. Back on the record, Bradley McConnell. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, sir.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is Brad McConnell, and I'm delighted to be speaking with you today regarding the confirmation hearing for appointment to the Alaska Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. I appreciate the opportunity to share with the committee my reasons for serving on the board, as well as the impact that I hope will be made over the course of serving Alaskans over the next few years. I was raised in a rural area of California whose population is approximately the same size as the entire population of Alaska, with a similar amount of mental health professionals serving that population. I believe that serving those unique needs of that population translates well to serving Alaskans because I was able to directly see and understand the various difficulties residents face when trying to access mental health care. The provision of mental health services, both in quality and number, is needed in Alaska, and this is something that will only be increasing through the years. The professional psychology is integral to who I am as an individual. I have served in a variety of mental health settings since completing my training as a psychologist approximately 7 years ago, from university counseling centers to federally qualified health centers to correctional health care and inpatient hospitals. I currently serve as the Director of Psychological Services at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, and I am a board-certified psychologist through the American Board of Professional Psychology. The biggest hurdle I see is ensuring that Alaskans have the resources to access mental health care in a timely and routine manner. While I don't have an exact answer right now on how to help, I believe I'm equipped to help shed some light on some exciting avenues in what is being accomplished through interstate compacts on providing psychological services, as well as what can be accomplished through telehealth. I am humbled by being offered the opportunity to serve on the Alaskan Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, and I am more than pleased to answer any questions that the committee may have for me. Thank you again.
Questions from committee members? All right. I don't see any. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Fairbanks, I believe. And, yep, we're going to go to Fairbanks and Bernard Gatewood.
Thank you, Senator Bishop, and all the members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to present with you. My name is Bernard Gatewood. I've lived in Alaska for about 35 years total, the past 20 in Fairbanks. I'd like to say that I'm married to a beautiful young lady, Tracy Gatewood. She's a small business owner here in Fairbanks, and it will be 14 years tomorrow that we've been married. I hold a Master of Science degree in counseling and a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology. I have over 30 years of public service with experience primarily in juvenile corrections, and also in the mental health arena, nonprofit oversight, and local politics. I spent almost 16 years as the superintendent of the Fairbanks Youth Facility. In this capacity, I also had oversight responsibilities for the Nome and the Bethel Youth Facilities. I managed a budget of over $12 million. I worked in the mental health arena in both Alaska and Alabama. I've served on numerous nonprofit boards and commissions, and I served on the Fairbanks City Council for 8 years. I retired from state service in November of 2015 and have spent the past 4 years serving my community in various ways. A trustee with the Foundation Health Partners, on the Good Sense Board for a GVEA, or the electric company. And I also do public address announcing for Lathrop High School football, Lathrop High School basketball, and Monroe Catholic football. I think the behavioral health issue in this state has compelled me to try and do more. And I see the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associates as a key piece in the mental health continuum of providers necessary to address some of those behavioral health issues. I think this board plays a role in licensure and getting these professionals to work as quickly as possible after proper vetting. Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to present to you, and I hope that you confirm me and give me a chance to work on this board and help address the mental health issue in this state. Thank you, sir.
All right. Any questions from committee members? Mr. Gatewood, I just want to thank you for all your service to the youth in this state. And I hope to see you Friday night, maybe in the gym at the regionals, so if I can get out of here. So take care, and we'll see you later.
Well, thank you, sir. I'll definitely be there. I'll probably be announcing some of those games.
All right, thank you. All right, next we're going to go to, Christina Durham, Board of Psychologists and Psychological Examiners in Anchorage.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. As you said, my name is Christina Durham, and I, along with everyone else, appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about a pending appointment to the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. I am licensed as a psychologist in the state of Alaska and have been so since 2009. I first earned an associate degree from UAA and then relocated to the lower 48 to complete my education, as at the time, UAA did not have the degrees that I was seeking. I obtained a PhD from Brigham Young University in clinical psychology and then later a postdoctoral master's in clinical psychopharmacology from Alliant University. I've been licensed in Alaska since 2009 and in Utah since 1999. I was one of those non-traditional students starting my education when my youngest child started in school. And with four children and a husband on a slope schedule, it took nearly 10 years to go from no degree to completing my PhD. I've always thought, fortunately, persistence has been a lifelong trait, and that certainly aided in that pursuit. I have always had a desire to give back, to serve, and after completing my degree, have attempted to do that wherever I could and with the training that I've received. Presently, I am primarily retired, and I see that as a great boon to being able to increase the amount of service that I give back to the community now that I'm full-time back in Alaska, and certainly see a strong need to improve and further the practice of psychology and appreciate the opportunity to do so on the psychology board. I believe my interest and the perspective I have from mainly being a forensic practitioner adds a different perspective and maybe some breadth to the board's work, and I look forward to serving if confirmed. I appreciate your time and consideration. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right. Thank you for the introduction, and I'm not seeing any questions, and thanks for putting yourself forward and wanting to continue to serve. The state of Alaska appreciates it.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, I don't see, Wendy Lawrence in the room? And I don't see a Wendy Lawrence online, so we will have to reschedule that for the next committee meeting. Cody's already got that in the queue. So let me follow the script. In accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Board of Nursing, Lena Lafferty, Board of Direct Entry Midwives, Amanda Penwell. Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Fred Wallace. Board of Psychologists and Psychological Examiners, Bradley McConnell, Bernard Gatewood, Christina Durham. This does not reflect an intent by any member to vote for or against the confirmation of these said individuals during any further sessions. And we'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Stevens, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute 31LS1478-S before the committee as a working document.
And I'll object for the explanation of changes. And Mr. Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens, will explain the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens and the Senate Education Committee. Before you is Senate Bill 182, version S. I want to make clear to the committee before we go further, to summarize that this bill as a whole is conforming language with federal law. Last December, Congress passed and the President signed that the nationwide law of the land will be that folks that are, in order to buy, sell, possess tobacco products, must be at least age 21. So this bill primarily would establish that consistency in state law so that all of the statutes that currently exist for buy, sell, possess for tobacco products, electronic cigarette products, and so forth, that the persons have to be age 21. Before I begin, I'm going to be using an acronym. When it comes to these products, it includes cigarettes, other tobacco products, which means chew, pipe tobacco, cigars, and so forth, products containing nicotine, and electronic smoking products, the acronym there being CONE. Cigarettes, other tobacco products, products containing nicotine, and electronic smoking products. Although Alaska's got many, and many states have quite a robust system to monitor and enforce compliance with our standard brick-and-mortar type storefronts, there's no equally robust system that exists for internet-based vendors selling these CONE products. And so the CS before you is going to reflect some restrictions on those online sales. Unfortunately, and as is intuitive with the modern age of technology, there's substantial evidence out there, Mr. Chairman, that's shown that minors can and do acquire these products from internet vendors. These vendors can skirt our existing laws currently designed and focused on our storefront retailers selling to youth. So federally, under the Control Act, the Federal Tobacco Control Act, the FDA has authority to make these changes, to take these actions, but no such online sales or actions against online sales have taken place. And so in that absence, states like ours are beginning to change their laws accordingly. With that, then, the latest CS before you is a general reflection of what several other states are currently doing that they have enacted or at least presently have proposed addressing online sales, summarized as, first of all, it repeals existing exemptions for those folks that might be in jail. As regards restricting online sales for all these CONE products, that online CONE vendors must be licensed with the state, that age verification must be made at the point of purchase, that packages as being sent are clearly labeled as a CONE product, and then finally that there be some an age verification at the point of delivery. And this CS, or my understanding, that your pleasure, Mr. Chairman, that we're currently going to remain silent on the tax and save the mechanics and the level of the taxation of these products for Senate Finance at a later committee. So with that, I'll go through the formal changes of the bill. Firstly, in the title, we're adding relating to transportation of tobacco, products containing nicotine, and electronic smoking products. And for your information, currently there's online restrictions for cigarettes, but none of the other products. So this would complete the O-N-E of the CONE. On Section 3, page 2, lines 26 and 27, relates to minor possession of tobacco or cone products, repeals the exemption for those folks that are in jail. So they, if you're in jail, you cannot legally give, sell, buy, possess these cone products if you're incarcerated, unless you're 21. Section 9 relates to transporting cigarettes into the state, that there must be an age verification service to confirm the age of someone online purchasing those products. Section 10 relates to common carriers. So when someone is making a purchase online and there's a common carrier involved, the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, and so forth, that shipping cigarettes into the state requires that that carrier verify the age of the recipient before completing delivery. Section 15, lines 14 to 31, continuing from page 7, 8, and 9, is a new section essentially relating to the transportation of tobacco products, product containing nicotine, and e-cigarettes. It duplicates all of the statutes that currently exist for cigarettes into a new section of applying to all those other products regarding shipping restrictions, age verification, labeling, and so forth. It also is very important to point out that it would require licensing of these vendors, if not just cigarettes, but any other online vendor of these other products would need to be licensed with the state in order to do business here and transport those products, cause them to be shipped to someone in our state. And then finally, on Section 27 relates to, those that are incarcerated. Just for clarification, that Section 3 applies to minors' possession. Section 27 relates to the selling or gifting of those products to people in jail, just to kind of cover both bases there. That concludes, Mr. Chairman, the summary of the changes in the bill. Like, we could go through the bill itself if you wish, but otherwise I'd be available for questions.
Does committee members have questions with the sectional changes that was just described? I did ask the bill sponsor to go around and talk to individual members prior to this meeting, and if any more questions have generated, please ask them now. All right. Seeing none, and like you said, we will take up the fiscal note and financial aspects in the Finance Committee. Thank you. Senator Stevens, comments?
No, I appreciate your hearing the bill, and I do appreciate the comments on the taxation. You know, we've had several questions along the way, and we want to make sure that it's fair to our shops here in Alaska, and that we find a way to restrict sales online as well. So I think that's those will be solved at the next level.
Right, and I think it's prudent to handle that at the Finance Committee.
Absolutely.
I'm going to remove my objection. And Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute 31 LS1478/S from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no objections, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill. Okay, we're back on the record. Next is, let me see. All right, Senate Bill 195, Board of Directors of Lysak Insurers. This is the second hearing. We'll take public testimony. And we're going to open public testimony. We're going to close public testimony. And are there any questions of the department before we move the bill? It was pretty doggone simple. Seeing none, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 195, version 31LS1533-A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
All right, seeing no objection. 195 moves from committee. SB 195 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill. All right, good afternoon. We're back on the record. Next up is Senate Bill 68. This will be the first hearing of the bill. The companion version of this bill has made significant progress in the other body, and the committee does have a CS for consideration after the Senate President gives opening comments, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for hearing the bill. For the record, I'm Kathy Giesel, Senator for Senate District N, and as in November. So Senate Bill 68 would create a dental hygienist advanced practice permit. So, Mr. Chairman, I believe you and members of the committee understand how critical dental care is to our overall health. In fact, some dental conditions can actually predispose someone to heart disease and other issues. Certainly, if a person is missing their teeth, their nutritional status falls significantly, and that affects their health. So, in our state, the most vulnerable populations are children, seniors, and those with disabilities. We have an enormous unmet need for dental care in Alaska, and our dental costs are high, just like all of our medical costs. Many states are now allowing dental hygienists the ability to have advanced practice type permits, and that gives them the ability to provide dental services to underserved populations who are at risk. So these are folks that may not have access to a dental office. Perhaps there isn't one in the community where they live, or there's transportation issues even if there is a dentist in the community. So Senate Bill 68 would allow an advanced practice permit for Alaska licensed hygienists. As of 2019, just for data point, there are 703 Alaska-licensed dental hygienists. So these folks are skilled oral health professionals. I'm betting every one of you and everyone in the room has encountered and appreciated the work of dental hygienists. They are focused on preventing and treating oral diseases. They graduate from nationally accredited dental hygiene education programs in colleges and universities. They successfully take a national written exam and a state clinical examination. They have comprehensive education and clinical preparation and are focused on serving the public with safe dental care. The identified underserved areas in Alaska, particularly the ones that we want to focus on, are nursing homes, K through 12 schools, senior centers, residential treatment centers, assisted living centers, nursery schools, and even daycare centers. A dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit would be able to provide early preventative care, thus reducing the number of acute care visits that the person might have for dental issues. And those, of course, can be very expensive. They could identify serious dental problems and then make the appropriate referral to dentists to handle the more complicated issues. 62% of Alaska's children have higher than normal tooth decay rate. So having access to a dental hygienist early in a daycare center or nursery school or K-12 school could go a long way toward treating those things. So this would provide new consumer choices for preventative oral health, helping to educate patients and families in dental hygiene and good overall health. This bill is supported by the Alaska Board of Dentistry, the Alaska Dental Hygienist Association, the American Dental Hygienist Association, the Alaska Dental Society, and dental hygienists who see firsthand the unmet need that are prevalent in Alaska. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I conclude my opening remarks.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Senator Stevens.
I wonder if you could give us an idea, Madam President, about the expensiveness, the cost. I mean, I do know that Alaska is the highest in the U.S. and Kodiak is the highest in Alaska when it comes to a dentist. So what could we expect to happen if we're more folks that can't afford it, underserved, are actually seeing a hygienist? What are we looking at in the difference in cost? Any idea?
I don't think we can quantify specifically the savings. That's one of the hard things about preventative health care. It's impossible to quantify what we saved by preventing something. But certainly we know children have a lot of dental caries, tooth decay. We now have dental health aides in rural Alaska, and we have seen a significant positive impact from those dental health aides. So they are out there right now doing much of what this bill would allow other dental hygienists around the state to do. We know that they've made a big impact, particularly in child's health care. We also are concerned about seniors. Let's talk about seniors at the Alaska Pioneer Home. Transportation to get to a dentist is very difficult for them. If they are suffering from dementia, going to a dentist's office can be very disruptive, disorienting for a person with dementia. But a dental hygienist coming into the Pioneer Home could actually meet those needs in a familiar atmosphere and cause a lot less discord for that senior citizen.
Sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Senator President and I heard overview, if you will, a few weeks ago on some costs of our Medicaid program for dental, and I think this could go a long way to maybe help and drive down some of that cost too. So I don't know. I've been told that my wife tells me every day, if you keep flossing your teeth, you're going to live 8 years longer. All right. Seeing no further questions for the Senate President, Senator Stevens, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee Substitute 31LS0224/R before the committee as a working document.
All right. Seeing no objections, work draft R is before the committee. And Ms. Conway, if you'd walk us through the sectional version.
Good afternoon. My name is Jane Conway. Staff to Senator Giesel, I have a sectional analysis of Senate Bill 68 to go through with you. I think you have that in your packets. Section 1 has to do with the scope of practice for dental hygienists, and it amends that section to allow a licensed dental hygienist who holds an advanced practice permit to perform the duties that are allowed by the permit that are set out in this bill. Section 2 is a new section about advanced practice permits. It outlines the advanced practice permit regulations and privileges. The Board of Dental Examiners may issue an advanced practice permit to a licensed dental hygienist who has a minimum of 4,000 documented hours of clinical experience. They could perform certain specific services listed in this section, and you'll see 13 items listed on pages 2 and 3 of the services that they may provide. It also describes patients, a licensed dental hygienist who holds an advanced practice permit may provide services to, and they are including a patient not able to receive dental treatment due to age, infirmity, or disability, children, seniors, or disabled, and they are a resident of what Senator Giesel had described, various situations like a senior center, a hospital, long-term care, residential care facility, adult foster home. The list goes on, vocational training program, private school, secondary school, charter school, and so on. A patient receiving benefits under the WIC program or a resident where there's a shortage of dental health populations is also the areas of which these advanced practice dental hygienists can serve. And then it goes on to a licensed dental hygienist holding an advanced practice permit can provide services without the presence, authorization, or supervision of a licensed dentist and without an examination from a licensed dentist because they've met the criteria written out in the regulations by the board and the 4,000 hours of clinical experience. They're also required to do the following: to maintain professional liability insurance, to give the patient, parent, or legal guardian written notice that the treatment provided will be limited to the services listed under this Section A. They must provide a written recommendation that the patient be examined by a licensed dentist for comprehensive oral care. So that means that if anything is beyond their scope of practice, they would refer them on to a regular dentist. And they would also have to provide assistance for a referral to a licensed dentist for further treatment if that patient needs help finding an appropriate dentist that they can get to. Also, the dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit may practice as an independent contractor as long as they are practicing independently in that shortage, one of those areas that is listed as a dental shortage area. The advanced practice permit is valid until the license of the dental hygienist expires, and they can renew their advanced practice permit at the same time they renew their license.
Ms. Conway, I have a question just for clarification in my head. So I highlighted maintain professional liability insurance, and I kind of got my answer down here in E. So this individual that meets these qualifications, they could be working in a practice and or they could set up their own shop. Is that correct?
Senator Bishop, that is true. It's predicted that most of these dental hygienists will probably still work for a dentist and also go out to these underserved areas and provide services at the same time.
So just for a clarification for me, so if they're working in a practice and then they're going to go out to an underserved area, I guess it would be up to the individual, but they could still maintain their employment with their primary employer, and they would carry the professional liability insurance form. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Chairman, I will answer from the perspective of an advanced practice nurse. That's sometimes the scenario that an employer who is employing an advanced practice nurse will offer as a benefit to their employment coverage for their liability insurance. Typically, however, it is up to the clinician themselves to maintain that liability insurance and pay the premiums.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Please continue.
All right, now we are on Section 3, which is on page 4. This is a section that covers grounds for discipline and suspension or revocation of a license. It outlines 7 items of which could be grounds for discipline. It allows the Board of Dental Examiners to discipline, suspend, or revoke a license of an advanced practice permit holder. If there's any questions, there are 7 items there of things that should not be done by a dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit. Towards the bottom, it also says that you could have discipline for performing procedures outside your scope of practice, except as permitted by an advanced practice permit, and allowing a dental assistant to perform duties outside their scope. So if a dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit is supervising a dental assistant, they are it's mandatory that they make sure the dental assistant only operates within their scope of practice. They may not falsify or destroy a patient or facility record, or fails to maintain a patient or facility record for at least 7 years after the date the record was created. That is the same requirement that is for dentistry as well. Section 4 on page 5.
Stevens, he has a question.
Thank you. Just if you clarify the duties outside the scope of their job description, what would that be? Like, what are we talking about? Like maybe the pulling of teeth or something like that? Would that be?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. Yes, a dental hygienist would not be doing those kind of invasive procedures like pulling a tooth or correct. That would have to be done by a dentist, and so the dental hygienist would refer that patient on to a dentist.
Thank you.
Section 4, page 5, adds a new subsection under delegation to dental assistants. It allows delegation of the following tasks to a dental assistant: taking and developing x-rays, radiographs, application of topical preventative agents, and other tasks specified by the board by regulation. And the dental assistant must be supervised at a level specified by the Board of Dental Examiners in regulation as well. Section 5, unfair discrimination, having to do with employer insurance, a dental hygienist holding an advanced practice permit. It adds them to the list of providers who may not be discriminated against in a insurance plan. Section 6 adds dental hygiene services to the list of services provided under the Medicaid statute. Section 7 allows DCCED, HESS, and the Board of Dental Examiners to adopt regulations necessary to implement the changes that are in this bill. Section 8 allows the regulation and rulemaking to take effect immediately. And Section 9, the effective date of this bill is July 1st, 2021.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? We do have the following people online for questions. Renee Gayhart, Director, Division of Health and Care Services, is in person. Hello, welcome. Melissa Hill, Administrative Manager for the Division of Healthcare Services, in person, welcome. Brenda Vincent, Medicaid Program Specialist, Division of Healthcare, she's online. We do have invited testimony today, and that is Katrina Virgin, President of the Alaska Dental Hygienist Association, and Dominique Winsel, and Ann Lynch, Director of Advocacy and Education for the American Dental and Hygienist Association, and last, our own Sarah Chambers, Director, Division of Corporate Business Professional Licensing. So, corporations, businesses, and professional licensing. All right. So, with that being said, does anybody have questions so far? We'll go to invited testimony. All right. With that, we're going to go to Katrina Virgin, President of the Dental Hygienist Association in Kodiak.
Hi, good afternoon. For the record, this is Katrina Virgin, President of the Alaska Dental Hygienist Association, calling from Kodiak, Alaska, in support of SB 68 to provide testimony and stay online to answer any questions as directed.
Senator Stevens, you have questions for a Kodiak person?
Well, I'm not sure that I do, but I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. All right. I don't see any questions. Next, we're going to go to Dominique Winsel. Dominique.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you. Through the chair, good afternoon, Senator DeGiesel and the rest of the committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Dominique Winsel.
I am a member of the Alaska Board of Dentistry of Examiners. Thank you for allowing me to speak regarding SB 68. The Alaska Dental Board of Examiners supports the new version of SB 68 as written, and I can hopefully answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. I'm not seeing any questions, so thank you, sir.
I have a question.
Senator Rebeck now has a question.
Dr. Wenzel, this is Senator Rebeck. Are you still practicing, and if not, are you planning on practicing anytime soon?
Through the chair, hello, Senator Rebeck. I have just gotten released by the orthopedic surgeon to try to do a half day a week. So, I think I'm good to go March 23rd.
Thank you.
At my old office.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for calling in. Next, we'll have, Ann Lynch from the American Dental Hygienist Association from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann Lynch. I am the Director of Advocacy and Education for the American Dental Hygienist Association. We are headquartered in Chicago, Illinois. By way of introduction, I have been with ADHA for nearly 8 years. By way of background, prior to joining ADHA, I had the pleasure and privilege to serve as a state senator in my home state of Minnesota. So it's really, it's a delight for me to spend a little bit of time with you this afternoon. I come to you on behalf of the largest national organization representing the professional interests of dental hygienists across this country to speak in support of SB 68. I thought it would be helpful to offer you some perspective with a national lens. In 1995, so go back in time, about 25 years ago, there were a handful, the number was five states that allowed dental hygienists to practice without the presence and authorization of a dentist. Fast forward now to 2020, and that number is 42. Today there are 42 states, including Alaska, that in at least one setting permit dental hygienists, have state laws that allow dental hygienists to work in communities to provide preventive oral health services without the presence or direct supervision of a dentist. So what you're seeking to do today is to further utilize that dental hygiene workforce that you have in the state of Alaska. You heard a little bit about the education and licensure requirements for dental hygienists. I can confirm for you that, in fact, there are national standards for dental hygiene education programs that are accredited all across this country, including in your state of Alaska. The advanced practice permit in Alaska will provide that opportunity to utilize your ready workforce with Alaska educated dental hygienists. And this will allow dental hygienists to meet people where they are in each of your districts and each of your communities. As a former lawmaker, I've sat in your shoes. And one of the, I think one of the things that's unique and somewhat special about this bill is that this is really presenting an opportunity to provide leadership and to support an initiative, to support a change that will truly make a difference in the lives of so many people all across the state of Alaska for years to come. I thank you very much for the service to the state of Alaska and for the work that you do and the leadership that you provide. Appreciate the opportunity to provide comment tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Don't go anywhere. I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. first off, do you know where Motley, Minnesota is?
Motley, Minnesota. Now that's a big metropolis.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I just wanted to, I'm checking your creds here. I'm verifying your Minnesota creds. Okay, so you passed that one. The second thing I just wanted to ask was, do you have any data, or is any how many hygienists do we know would then go on to become a dentist, or want to go to the next level? Does anybody have an idea? Do you have an idea?
I don't have a hard number at my fingertips for you, but I can tell you it is far more common for dental hygienists to seek the ability to be able to practice to the top of their scope of practice. And so when I talked about the fact that 25 years ago there were 5 states, and today there are those 42, that's really an indication of states, frankly, allowing this licensed professional to be able to change their laws so that that workforce is providing services to the top of their fullest extent of their education.
Thank you. And we do have, we got two more questions, but I'm going to go to Senator Rivak has a question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering about the scope of the practice you mentioned. What is the scope of the practice? I know it's preventative. Can they administer local anesthetics, things like that, in advanced practice hygienists, or could you help me better understand the scope?
Yes, and through the chair, in your bill, it's on page 2, beginning with line 7. The scope for the advanced practice permit is laid out there. To the question on local anesthesia, that is addressed. Looking here, looks like line 24 on page 2.
So line 21, it says perform neurosurgical periodontal therapy. Could you help me understand what that is, with or without administration of local anesthesia?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I should have disclosed that I am also, while I'm a politician, I am not a dental hygienist.
All right.
You're doing good there.
Yeah, great.
I might ask if I could email to the dental hygienist that's on the line.
We'll hold that question and we'll go to the appropriate individual. So thank you. Senator Stevens does have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your service as a state senator. You mentioned there's one setting, I believe you said one setting here in Alaska where hygienists can do a job without a dentist being present. So that's our current state of affairs. What is that setting you're talking about?
If I could clarify, what I said, or at least what I meant to say, was that of the 42 states that we call it direct access, where in at least one setting in each of those states, that dental hygienists can provide those services to patients without the dentist being present or giving authorization. Most commonly, just to give you some sort of a sense, most commonly that's in schools. And certainly that is the case in the state of Alaska. But today, dental hygienists can provide services. You have something that's called, a collaborative practice agreement. I'm trying to look it up really quick. So you are in your state since 2008. So back in 2008, there, when I talked about some of those barriers being released, that first happened in your state in 2008 when you created the collaborative agreement. And the collaborative agreement, so what you're doing today with this bill is allowing the hygienist to work in more settings, okay, so increasing that access with the creation of the permit system by allowing that hygienist with those hours that staff indicated and education and license to be able to go out and meet people where they're at.
Thank you, Ann. I understand that.
Okay. All right. Ms. Lynch, thank you. I see no further questions. We're going to take just a brief at ease. On the record, Dr. Wenzel, are you still on the line?
Through the chair, yes.
Your patient has a question.
Hey, Dr. Wenzel, Senator Rivek, I was just curious about the scope of practice in the advanced practice permit. It looks like if certified by the board, they can administer local anesthesia. And I was curious what exactly is perform non-surgical periodontal therapy. Could you help me better understand some of the scope of practice?
Yes, through the chair. Senator Rivak, I think you're referring to line 22. Is that correct, page 2?
Yes.
Well, what happens is if a patient has probings deeper than 4 millimeters and fairly tenacious subgingival calculus, the hygienist is not able to scale and root plane without the patient being numb. Otherwise, it would be too uncomfortable for that patient. So as it is now, hygienists are allowed to administer local anesthetic in dental practices under the general supervision of a dentist. What the board is supporting is allowing the dental hygienist to go ahead and administer local anesthetic in these settings, such as a nursing home.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wenzel. I appreciate it.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you, Doctor. Seeing no further questions, we're going to open public. Oh, Sarah Chambers. Ms. Chambers, did you want it? Okay. All right, questions. We're going to open public testimony. Public testimony is open. And we're going to go to Fairbanks. Vivian Stiver.
Good afternoon, Chair Bishop and committee members. I'm testifying today in support of SB 68. I have worked with a senior population now for 9 years, and I've witnessed firsthand the problems associated with low-income seniors and getting dental care. It does several obstacles for our seniors. One is cost. Secondly is transportation. It is difficult to get there. So not only as Senator Giesel had said, not only does having bad teeth affects your heart, it does cause issues and other health issues. So I've seen seniors who are struggling with, you know, oral issues. Then it comes into the fact that they're having a hard time eating good foods because they can't chew, because they have pain. And so a lot of times there are other options for them to have their teeth worked on or fixed, but they opt for options of extraction because they can't afford other types of services. So if we can get dental hygienists who can come in and they can do, you know, the screening and they can do cleanings and they can help and encourage seniors with their teeth and spot problems quickly, I think it would add such a tremendous quality of life for seniors because they also will isolate if their teeth get so bad. They're not likely to come to potlucks to go out and be around people. So, you know, healthcare, dental care all creates impacts on our seniors. And so I think this bill is very important for that. And also it's also nice to see that we have the advanced practitioner and giving opportunity to other Alaskans to move into these areas where they are underserved. And that concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Stiver. Any questions? Don't see any. Thanks for calling in today. And it appears it appears that that's it for public testimony. It's closed. Okay. Senator Giesel, do you have any wrap-up comments? Okay. All right. Thank you. No wrap-up comments. We're going to set Senate Bill 68 aside. It'll be coming up in our next meeting. And this concludes today's meeting. Thursday, there will be confirmation hearings. Senate Bill 68 will be back up. And 173, Senate Bill 173, license intensive care paramedics by our own Senator Rivak. Thank you. And participants today, we are adjourned at 2:38.